Continue readings from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 23, the Shishumara Planetary System, Text 1. Shall I read the introduction or no? Sure. Here's the introduction. This chapter describes how all the planetary systems take shelter of the pole star, Dhruva Loka. It It also describes the totality of these planetary systems to be Shishumar, another expansion of the external body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhruvaloka, the abode of Lord Vishnu within this universe, is situated 1.3 million yojanas from the seven stars. In the planetary system of Dhruvaloka are the planets of the fire god, Indra, Prajapati, Kashyapa, and Dharma, all of whom are very respectful to the great devotee Dhruva, who lives on the pole star. Like bulls yoked to a central pivot, all the planetary systems revolve around Dhruvaloka, impelled by eternal time. Those who worship the Virat Purusha, the universal form of the Lord, conceive of this entire rotating system of planets as an animal known as Shishumar. This imaginary Shishumar is another form of the Lord. The head of the Shishumar form is downward, and its body appears like that of a coiled snake. On the end of its tail is Dhruvaloka. On the body of the tail are Prajapati, Agni, Indra, and Dharma. And on the root of the tail are Datta and Viddatta. On its waist are the seven great sages. The entire body of the Shishumar faces toward its right and appears like a coil of stars. On the right side of this coil are the 14 prominent stars from Abhijit to Purnarvasu. And on the left side are the 14 prominent stars from Pushya and Uttarasada. The stars known as Purnarvasu and Pushya are on the right and left hips of the Shishumar, and the stars known as Adra and Ashlesha are on the right and left feet of the Shishumar. Other stars are also fixed on different sides of the Shishumar planetary system according to the calculations of Vedic astronomers. To concentrate their minds, yogis worship the Shishumar planetary system, which is technically known as the Kundalini Chakra. Text 1. The way I'm used to doing it, but I'm happy to adjust. We usually read till we get to a purport, and then we do the word for word with the purport one. Is that okay? Okay, this is prose for text one with no purport. Sri Suka Uvacha Atasmat Paratastha Yodasalaksha Yajanam Tarato Yattad Vishno Paramam Param Abhivandati Yatra Maha Bhagavato Dhruva Uthana Padiyaganindrana Prajapatina Kasyapena Dharmanacha Samakala Yugdev Sabahumanam Dakshinata Kriyamana Iranim Api Kalpajivanam Ajiv Translation. Sukadeva Goswami continued, My dear King, 1.3 million yojanas, 10.4 million miles, above the planets of the seven sages is the place that learned scholars describe as the abode of Lord Vishnu. There the son of Maharaj Uttanapada, the great devotee Maharaj Dhruva, still resides as the life source of all living entities who live until the end of the creation. Agni, Indra, Prajapati, Kasyapa, and Dharma all assemble there to offer him honor and respect. They circumambulate him with their right sides toward him. I have already described the glorious activities of Maharaj Dhruva in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then I'll just read it. Once, is that okay, or do you want to take turns reading it? Whatever's been. Since it's prose, that's up to you all. Sahi sarvesham jyotir gananam graha nakshatradinam animisanavyakta ramasab bhagavatar kalinat pramyamananam stanur vava stamba ishvarena vihita sashvad avabhasate. Anybody want to chant? Okay, word for word. Sa, that planet of Dhruva Maharaj, he, indeed, sarvesham, of all, jyoti gananam, the luminaries, graha nakshatra adinam, such as the planets and stars, animishena, who does not rest, avyakta, inconceivable, Ramasa, whose force, Bhagavata, most powerful. Kalena by the time factor. Brahmananam being caused to revolve. Shtanu Iva like a post. Avastamba the pivot. Ishvarena by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vihita established. Sarsva constantly. Avabhasate shines. Translation. Established by the supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pole star, which is the planet of Maharaj Dhruva, constantly shines as a central pivot for all the stars and planets. The unsleeping, invisible, most powerful time factor causes these luminaries to revolve around the pole star without cessation. Please repeat. Established by the supreme will of the supreme personality of Godhead. The pole star, which is the planet of Maharaj Dhruva, constantly shines as a central pivot for all the stars and planets. The unsleeping, invisible, most powerful time factor causes these luminaries to revolve around the pole star without cessation. Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada. It is distinctly stated herein that all the luminaries, the planets and stars, revolve by the influence of the supreme time factor. The time factor is another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is under the influence of the time factor. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind and loves his devotee Maharaj Dhruva so much that he has placed all the luminaries under the control of Dhruva's planet and has arranged for the time factor to work under him or with his cooperation. Everything is actually done according to the will and direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But to make his devotee Dhruva the most important individual within the universe, the Lord has placed the activities of the time factor under his control. Om Ganti Mundasya Jananjana Shalaka Chakshwam Militamina Tasmay Shiguru Shichitani Marobisnam Staptam Yena Bhutule Swayam Rupagra Mayam Dharatisma Brandigam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Niganirar Shiva Sarigur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation repeated, two translations. Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, 1.3 million yojanas, 10.4 million miles above the planets of the seven sages is the place that learned scholars describe as the abode of Lord Vishnu. There the son of Maharaj Uttanapada, the great devotee Maharaj Dhruva, still resides as the life source of all the living entities who live until the end of the creation. Agni, Indra, Prajapati, Deep Kasyapa, and Dharma all assemble there to offer him honor and respectful obeisances. They circumambulate him with the right sides toward him. I have already described the glorious activities of Maharaj Dhruva in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Where the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pole star, which is the planet of Maharaj Dhruva, constantly shines as a central pivot for all the stars and planets. The unsleeping, invisible, most powerful time factor causes these luminaries to revolve around the pole star without cessation. So I don't know if you all did this, but when I was a kid, I used to stare at the pole star, going, this planet, the vibration coming from this planet, the pulse of whatever, is like different from all the other stars. And I was just like fascinated by it. And honestly, looking back, I felt like I got information from it. I mean, it sounds kind of weird, but probably too weird for Bhagavatam class. But, you know, really, it just, you know, I got something out of it, you know, something substantial. And it's a spiritual planet. It's the one that's a spiritual planet. It's got, like, Lord Vishnu resides there, you know. So there's something to that. You know, I remember for hours and hours and hours, just, wow, this is different. And I thought about telling people. And I got my degree in earth science from university, you know. They didn't describe anything regarding this planet, you know, this pole star. It was just amazing. actually, is this very significant? That's far out. Dhruva Maharaj. And here we see the glorification of the great devotee Maharaj Dhruva, who, unlike myself, my father kicked me out of the house. Similar experience with Dhruva Maharaj. And I remember saying, I have to take sannyas now. And I was a little boy. But I didn't have the guts. I wasn't like Dhruva. Sorry, I needed ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to really make it happen. And maybe you all fit in a similar category. We need this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We're not as great as Maharaj Dhruva, where you can just run off to the forest. Although there is one guru in my movement, maybe more, that did that. He lived in the forest growing up. Oh, you know, and he sounded kind of like a Dhruva Maharaj. Anybody know his name? I forgot his name. Indian devotee. Wonderful devotee. So, anyways, Maharaj Dhruva handled it. He didn't run to his mommy like I did. Mom, Dad, keep me out of the house. And then I knew they were going to serve me meat. Maybe I didn't eat meat before then, but I went to my mom. Isn't it wrong to eat meat? Because I didn't want to go in to eat what's on the dinner table. And my mom goes, oh, it just sounded just like Maya. It's okay, son. The way she said it. It's okay, son. God made the animals for us to eat them. And my daddy, he grabs the middle of the steak. I sit on the table just shaking like violently because Krishna showed me if I eat the meat, I gotta go into a body of a hare, you know, and then I just flipped out, ran to my mom. And I knew I had to take off and take find God, you know, like Dhruva did. And my dad puts his fork in the middle of the bone and goes, son, this is where the nectar of life is. Exact words. You know, and whatever, how many years later, somehow, mercy, Govinda's restaurant was opened up and I came in contact with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And then, with this wonderful, incredible society, the Prabhupada is so magnanimously and diligently set up this life that is so incredible. I mean, unbelievably incredible. At every step for the rest of our life, and encourage so many more people to get involved, because this is the best life. The nectar is not eating the bone marrow. I'm sorry. It's not where it's at. It's not the real nectar. Oh, God. Anyways, here you see Dhruva Maharaj. Here it says, Prabhupada says, his devotee, Krishna's devotee, Maharaj Dhruva, so much kind and loves him so much that he placed all the luminaries under the control of Dhruva's planet. Really far out. I mean, we see and has arranged for the time factor to work under him or with his cooperation. So, I mean, Dhruva Maharaj is only nobody. And definitely Arjuna is somebody. And Krishna, if we just plug into Krishna's service, he empowers us. You know, like Krishna says, you know, I've already killed him, Arjuna. Go and empower you. You just do the work. Just be my devotee. Do as I say. And you get to have the most thrilled life. Thrill at every moment. Every word's a song. Every step's a dance. You'll be like off the bottle of conception, having a blast. And same with Dhruva Maharaj. You know, even though he initially wanted a kingdom greater than his father, was it Vishnu or Krishna showed up? I'm sorry. Vishnu showed up and he just said, forget, I don't want any of these things anymore. I just want you, you know. So this is what happens when we get purified. When we come in contact with Krishna, we get purified. We no longer desire anything but Krishna's service immediately. But if you've always said the name Krishna, I think everybody here probably has, you'll be dragged back home to Godhead. You know, so what happens is we, you know, depending on how much time it takes, that's up to you and your determination. So we can take full advantage of this ISKCON society and go back as quick as we can. And all along the way, it's so incredible, really wonderful, actually. Especially when we choose to adopt the full faith program. When there's full faith in Guru and Shastra, this is usually what happens, that this slows us down. Of course, many other things, but really faith is so critical. Like Prabhupada had a full faith in his Guru's instruction. He just said, okay, let's get on this steamship, take my books, and go. Western world, you know? And with nothing, just doing carrying out Guru's instruction. And he says, if I've had any success, it's because I have full faith in Guru. And we see also in Prabhupada's arrival address, you know, he says he has full faith in the holy name. You know? Full faith. He has no faith in himself in the sense of, like, he doesn't think himself qualified. He thinks himself most fallen and unqualified and incapable and all these things. But he has full faith in the holy name of God. So with this faith, we can plug in. Because once we start plugging in, what is it? Visaya Vinivartante Narayarasyadehina Rasavarjam Rasopiyasya Param Drishtva Nivartate 259 Bhagavad Gita. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense objects, but the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste is fit. So this higher taste we get. Anybody seen those, like, Gumby inflatable things out there? You know, when you got a new building or whatever, they sometimes a big monkey or the inflatable Gumby guy that goes like this. Anybody seen that? Anybody hasn't seen that? Yeah, well, they get, like, it's like, you know, Gumby, the green thing, you know, it put hot air in him. You just plug him in and hot air, and he just goes like this and grabs a lot of people's attention. It looks like he's going to fall down all the time. I mean, like, he's just going like, change your attention, like, he's going to fall. And no, he just gets up and just keeps doing this, you know, and he's back up. And it's like, and that's how we are. As long as we're plugged into devotional service to Krishna through the guidance of authorized authorities, we get like, wow, yeah, you know, it just happens naturally. You just get in kirtan. I mean, any karma, you just go, what the heck is going on here? If they ever see like a kirtan like this morning, you know, it was just like, what? They'd never seen that even at concerts. They'd never seen anybody really having fun at a concert unless they're really intoxicated, you know. And not like that. You know, you can see people dancing and then just wanting to dance more and then more and more and never a break. I mean, where do you see that? So this is what happens when we plug into devotional service to Krishna. Be a complete nobody like myself. I mean, honestly speaking, I'm a complete nobody. Still am, thank God. But if we plug in, things happen. Just, it's Krishna doing them. And that's where we really have to be careful with like Dhruva and Arjuna and or ourselves. I'm not saying Dhruva and Arjuna would ever do this, but we see in the history of our movement that people have thought this way, and perhaps we have as well, where we start taking the credit. We think we're the doer, right? Prakriti kriyamani gunai karmani sarvasa amkara vimudatma kartamaviti manyate. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are actually carried out by the three modes of material nature. So that's for, like, the karmis who are engaged in material activity, but even spiritually, 247, we have. But you know what? Karmanya vedakarasta mafaleshu kadachinam kamate sambhas du karmani. You have the right to perform your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of action. So never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty. So we have the right to plug in. We have that right. We can plug it. We can plug it into a real socket or a bogus one. We can plug it into a bogus one and pretend we're Krishna, or we can plug it into a real one that's connected to the powerhouse and get real electricity. And from that electricity, Things will happen. We're entitled to the fruits of the results of those activities, whether it be whatever. Let's say you go down Sankirtan, you're brahmachari, you go distribute broken. You're not entitled to that money unless the authorities tell you you are. Like we take it to Kapalapa. You know, it's not my funds, it's Dhanavira Maharaj's funds. You know, he accepts it just as Krishna's funds. So I can't keep any of that. So, and never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities. Like Bhagavati Prabhu, he said, you know, oh, I didn't say this, but I thought of this, that actually, that we can consider ourselves the lowest of the low, because actually I haven't distributed any books. In truth, I didn't distribute one book, distributed those books. And Bhagavati says, I haven't distributed any books. We really, Krishna distributed those books. I mean, I've learned this. One time I was at, Krishna was saving me, I didn't recognize it, I was at the Mexico border, and there was an authority there watching me, and I didn't see him. And this one guy, I mean, the Mexicans take books like anything, you know, no big deal. So I go, you know, excuse me, I was waiting in line, I kind of approach everybody in line. This one guy just wouldn't take a book. And I'm like, what the heck? You know, you got to take it. And I would spend like 10 minutes. He was reasonable, intelligent, everything. He had money. What was going on? And he's kind of like going like this. He didn't see him. He was just Krishna. He's just like, come on, you, Krishna's going, you dull-headed fool. I'm trying to tell you that there's, I can't give you money now. And so finally he just goes, all right. Because I really just was like, what's the deal? Just give me a penny. Penny, take the book, you got the book, and explained it so much, 10 minutes, gave me a little bit, and sure enough, the Yamaduta got the authority, said, hey, sorry, you can't do that here. So that was Krishna's control, you know, Krishna's just helping me out. Or sometimes, you're having a tough day out there, and all of a sudden, something switches in your mind, you just ask for Krishna's help, you think you're the doer, you're the greatest, and you can do anything anytime you want, you're the supreme controller. And all of a sudden, you realize, man, nothing's happening. And maybe subtly you just go, or subconsciously you just go, God, help me. And then people come out of the woodwork and take books like anything. So, I mean, as Bhagavati Prabhu says, by doing Sankirtan, you realize Krishna's a person. Or as Prabhupada says, the reason why we do Sankirtan is to realize we're dependent on Krishna. So we realize we are dependent on these results from Krishna. And we want to have results, but we're dependent on Krishna for those. So never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities. And never be attached to not doing your duty. Your authorities tell you to plug in that, put the cord in the socket. And you go, no, I just want to sleep. And, you know, let's say it's 4:30, you know, time to get to Mangal Arati. I don't know if that's the rule here, but a lot of temples, you got to go. So you got to plug it in. You got to get there on time. So never be attached to not doing your duties. Don't be attached to sleep or whatever it might be, laziness, sloth, whatever. So this is an important verse. 247 to really study. Imagine if everybody in this room really followed these teachings, including myself and speaking to myself, of course, as well, then we can actually really do something extremely significant. Not just significant, but extremely significant. And just like Prabhupada has done, maybe we can't do like Prabhupada has done, but maybe, I don't want to make any offenses either way. Whatever Prabhupada says is perfect. But we can. And those who have plugged in and taped that plug on, you know, so that you can't pull it back out. Just arrange it, plug off, you know, lock it up, lock it to the wire out. Don't, and then throw away the key, throw it in the woods, throw it in the river, you know, and you can't unplug it now. That's intelligence, you know, like Prabhupada's guru. He didn't get his finish his degree. I don't want to create a disturbance here for those authorities that have asked people to get their degree, but, you know, just do whatever your authority says. But, you know, Prabhupada's guru did avoid getting his degree because he didn't want to enter household life and get entangled. So these are some things to consider. I remember when I was about to finish my master's, I just thought about what would be the best use of my energy to please Krishna most with after reading Bhagavad Gita, and it seemed like to take up book distribution. Prabhupada says it's the most important activity. It's the best way to... You'll judge the success of your preaching by the measure of how many books you've distributed. So many strong, very strong... If you really want to please me, distribute my books. We see so many people worried about Lakshmi, money. Prabhupada says, if you just distribute my books, you never have to worry about Lakshmi. So many like heavy duty slave, if preaching means book distribution, so many like hardcore quotes. So I took the trouble to read everything. And then I said, well, look, it seems like even though it might be very difficult, let me get involved with this book distribution. Why not full time? And so I was about to finish my thesis, finishing master's in engineering, make a lot of money that way, and I just threw it in the garbage can. Because I didn't want to consider this as an option anymore. So that's like one way of, don't get a degree, you know, so I can't bring in much money, I just take a vow of remaining in Saffron until death, and let's just distribute as many books as we can. Why not? And really, what an incredible life. The first year, I think I averaged $30 a day, each day. Suffered like anything. Came back to the temple with horrible consciousness, and all the way, usually the first half hour was sweet, and then after that, my consciousness went seriously downhill. But then the second year, I averaged maybe $45 a day. And then once I got training, everything really went wonderful. And things have just really, really just... You just apply it really nicely, you know, just like not applying it really nicely, but just take to it like diligently the whole sadhana program, and things really, really, really happen. I mean, honestly, I didn't know if I was going to live another day when I first started. I was so ill. And sure enough, I mean, in fact, I feel so horrible if I take too much time off, but just plugging in, just you're like the Gumby guy, you know, just books just flying out. Just, you know, you're just empowered. Krishna empowers you. So we're not the doer. We realize this on Sankirtan. We realize that we're dependent on Krishna at every step. So why not just apply ourselves like Dhruva has and Arjuna has, take advantage of this society, which was what we need. I won't say everybody, but pretty much probably most everybody. And to consider ourselves that special person that doesn't need it, you're probably in some serious maya. So don't think like that. I don't encourage. Just take advantage of the society and just master the art of just plugging in and never pulling that plug out. And it doesn't matter your quality. The more you feel unqualified, the more qualifications you have. The second, if you got some material qualifications, I got my degree, I can really schmooze the ladies, I can bring a lot of money out of them on Sankirtan, I don't need an authority, or whatever you're thinking, you know, just, that's just an impediment for you staying plugged in. So whatever material qualifications you think you have is actually a disqualification for devotional service. And the more unqualified you feel, like, God, I'm the lowest of the low. God, I need your help, Krishna. I better keep plugged in because I can't. I'm a basket case. That's wonderful. That's the right kind of consciousness. So it doesn't matter right now. Maybe you feel really insecure to go distribute some literature. That's a great qualification. That's wonderful. I'm so... I wish I had more of that. The more insecure you feel, so I don't want to go out. That's great, but go out, and you'll be empowered. You'll blow your mind. Krishna will blow your mind. Then after doing this 1,000 times, what I'm thinking and what my mind is thinking, let me just do my duty. We have an acronym. Dr. Brandon has made up an acronym for Prabhupada's Jaladuta address. When he was arriving to America about to preach, Prabhupada has a certain mood, and we should have that same mood if we really want to have success in the Lord. The acronym is duty. First, Prabhupada desires that they be delivered. All these living entities be delivered. So that's the first step. Then he feels unqualified. And he goes, Krishna, you are qualified. So, make me the word puppet. Sorry, duppy doesn't quite do it for me, but duty, tool, works. So please make me your tool, your instrument, your tool, so that you can do your work through me. So make me your puppet, make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. And why? Your full faith in the written cure. Full faith. This does it. I've seen this, the power of this. And I've known the power of this, at least to some degree, at the L.A. Rath Yatra. There's usually a big fight against these Christians that are wearing cows going, you stupid Hindus, they don't eat the cow. Come on, guys, let's eat the cow. And then the Hare Krishnas get at it, and they're like, rawr. And at least every year I would go, it would be really intense. And these are the really fanatic Christians. And, you know, I first offered the main guy there the book, and he's like, no. And he's just like, he's in the mode of passion. You know, it's, wow, yeah, this is fun to make people upset. And, yeah, you know, really hardcore stuff. And I just touched the book to him, to his shoulder. And all of a sudden, you could see feel the energy just go, the hype to go, and you could just feel it like this. And he's just like, within 10 minutes, they all left. Just by touching the book to him. That's what, honestly, they were like fighting for hours. You know, and the more we fought, the more he'd get into it, you know. All of them would get into it. There's a bunch of them. The signs, you know, saying, you know, this and that. And stupid Hindu. Within 10 minutes. This is the power of just touching the book, let alone reading the book. Even if you are even quote unquote a good book distributor, you got a tough spot to distribute at, not many books go out. If somebody even just goes out and just appreciates what you're doing, how many times do you hear that every day? I appreciate what you're doing, I gotta go though. They Prabhupada says they get a human body in their next birth. You know, they're going into hell for a long time. Going to experience, get slaughtered, about 10,000 times, you know, in a cow body. You know, that was their future. And because you were out there, they get a human body in their next lifetime. Just because maybe 50 people said, I appreciate that guy. Maybe somebody from a distance, the guy driving on the bus, saw you and just goes, I appreciate that. They're thinking that. A human body. When we're talking serious transformation takes place that you might not see right away. Who was it that said, one of the great gurus said that you won't see the results of this book distribution for 100 years. So you might think, I get out 10 books a day, you know, I don't feel so significant. But what's your other option? Go back to school and get a degree in astronomy or, you know, I mean, what's that going to do, you know? But if you just stay with it, like, who's his name? The one from the one that passed away, Nirguna. Nirguna wasn't a huge distributor because he just went out, like here, went out to the same place every day, whatever, the university or whatever, or same town. Wonderful devotee, just plugging away, very much like you all do. And just plugging away, going out there real diligently his whole time in Krishna consciousness, distributing books. And he got cancer, and he's in Mayapur on his deathbed. And Radhakun Mataji, a great distributor, distributes books in Vrindavan, she said, well, Prabhupada said, if you've distributed your books your whole life, then Lord should take you back. So, hey, he's distributed his books his whole life. Lord Chaitanya is going to pick him up. So I want to go see Lord Chaitanya. So she goes and hangs out with him by his deathbed. There's a lot of people in the room, actually, at the last moments. And he's going in and out of whatever states of consciousness. And she requests, please take me around Govardhan Hill. And Dorothy's like, it's a few hundred miles away, and you're almost gone, and it's not practical. But here's a Shila. Here's a Govardhan Shila. He put it on his chest. And then a few moments later, he starts talking. And Dorothy's like, who are you talking to? Mahaprabhu! He answers. He goes, well, what is he saying? He said, it's time to go. Take the Shila with you. And then he goes. And in that room, searched for that Shila and could not find it. And there's a lot of people that eyewitnessed this. So it's true. If you just keep distributing these books till death, Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada says, will take personally take you back. This is something worth going for. this is something really worthwhile. And all along the way, you can have experiences with distributors who say, yeah, I saw Krishna in the window or the whatever, or he came over here and did this or that, or Nityananda, or dreams. You know, Nityananda, who came to me in a dream and told me this or that. And, lots of Prabhupada dreams, you know. So you get so many perks by taking this activity up. It's the best way to spread Krishna consciousness. Most important activity. Why not just go for it? And regarding how you feel now, how sick you feel mentally, physically, how much the thought of it just causes severe... First day, I was supposed to... Krishna arranged that I'm supposed to distribute books in his own funny way. And I ran away from the temple. I ragged me a few days later off the street and put me back in. So, you know, however you feel about it, I don't encourage that because that was a bad experience. Just stay plugged in. And no matter how awful you feel, just hang with it. That's what surrender is. Just hang with it. And you'll see the most incredible things happen. And I guarantee you'll say this is the greatest life possible. Guaranteed. Training is also very good, though, of course, because, you know, my experience is that experiencing the training increased my scores tremendously, which increased the bliss of the whole thing. Because we want results. We want to be successful. And this success builds upon success. So I've probably been talking a while. Maybe I could just recap and then ask for questions. So the Shishumara, how we went from pole star to book distribution, I don't know. Anyways, time factor. And regarding time factor, you know, this time factor, Krishna's in control of. You cannot control the time. I'm sorry. A lot of devotees, I mean, this is the way I see it because it's probably within me. At least this is what I see people in general, the disease in general being, that ain't no problem. I'll tolerate this devotional life for some time, but eventually I'll be able to be the supreme controller. I'll be able to conquer time. Everybody will start worshiping me. Just kind of like King Vena did. Remember King Vena? But actually, if we are become wise, Prabhupada says the wise man, only the wise man makes it. Prabhupada says, this divine energy of mine consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. It's impossible to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So it's impossible to overcome the time factor, the material modes of nature, unless we surrender to Krishna. And not that when we surrender to Krishna, we become Krishna, but Krishna removes that energy, material energy from our life. And we can live in the internal potency of God, of Krishna. So, this time factor, you cannot, whether you really want to or not, start, you have to cut them, right? You can't do that. You can't control this. Only Krishna can. Krishna's in control of this. So, but we can transcend all this, in a sense, by realizing that we are not this byproducts of this material world. And that's what a realized soul has realized. That's something worth living for. To realize that we are not this body, that we're spirit, and the best way to become a realized soul is practicing sadhana bhakti and just being a servant of the authorities and doing what they say and having that blissful life. And really realizing that you're not these bodies, realizing that in truth you don't suffer. The two, Prabhupada said, the two Pujaris in Mayapur are pure devotees. I forgot which one was giving class, and some devotee raised his hand with questions, and he said, Prabhu, there's so much suffering here and there, and he just cut him off. I couldn't even finish the question. He just goes, cut him off. Suffering? He's just looking straight in the eye, just like pure realization. He says, there is no suffering. He's a pure devotee. He's in pure consciousness. There is no suffering in that pure state. Actually, in truth, there is, in any state, there is no suffering. There's just the mental concoction that there's suffering. So to get to that point where we're ever increasingly more blissful and we don't live in this material world, just like you can hear this pod, and there's a kid in class, little boy, you can hear him, and he probably says, is there any questions, finish this class, is there any questions? And this little boy raises his hand, and probably says, yes. And the little boy, Prabhupada, yes. Are you here? And Prabhupada's like, you mean in the material world? He goes, yeah. And then Prabhupada says, no. So, it's like wonderful. Talk. She's such a level of purity there. We don't have to be into this false ideas anymore. We can just live in the eternal reality, be who we really are, stay plugged in, and this whatever thing you experience as suffering is really what you need to stay awake, to live in reality, to continue with your devotional service, to develop these great qualities like tolerance and so forth and so on. So it's our gifts of Krishna, if we're plugged in. It's all perfect gifts of Krishna. It's always perfect gifts anyways. Like even Prabhupada says, the atomic bomb coming at you is also Krishna's mercy, but not a nice form. But when we're plugged in, it's only nice forms of Krishna's mercy. Even if you don't recognize it, it always is perfect mercy. We don't need to change anything. Stay plugged in, full faith, Guru and Krishna, and Krishna will love you so much, he already does, but like here it says, is so kind and will love you so much that he will give you the greatest life. Guaranteed. Okay, I'll stop on that note. Any comments or questions? Yes. You have a question? Oh, sorry. All right. Okay, slowing down. What is our nature? What is our duty? And what? How does this relate with Arjuna fighting in the war? Is that right? So what, our nature is eternal, full of knowledge, and blissful. Satchitananda. That's our nature. We're part of Krishna. Krishna is Satchitananda Vigraha. And our duty... Prabhupada said many things. The human form of life is meant for God realization. Guru probably was speaking to a different kind of, maybe a different audience. He said, the goal of life is to realize our real nature, which is blissful. It's the same thing, just saying it from maybe a couple different angles. So that's our duty. To do that requires knowledge. Prabhupada has given us all the knowledge by studying Prabhupada's books. We know how to apply ourselves in order to perfect the human mission. Sadhana bhakti we take up. We don't do jnana or karma. We do bhakti, because that's what the culmination of this knowledge is. We realize how to apply ourselves to gain the goal quickest. Under the guidance of authorized authorities. So, and now how does this relate with Arjuna fighting in the war? Is posing himself or under some yoga, maya, and playing a role, I should put it, please leave it that, playing a role of an ignorant person like us, and is on the bodily conception of life, playing that role, and he's attached to beyond the bodily conception of life, he thinks happiness is in relation with his material body. So the whole teachings of Bhagavad Gita is to destroy nescience, ignorance. That's the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. And to deliver mankind from the nescience of material existence, Prabhupada says. So when we read Bhagavad Gita as it is, we realize that we're not the body. We realize we're not the body. And that this is what human life is meant for, self-realization, God-realization. And as the dialogue continues, Arjuna starts to understand, quote-unquote understand, how to apply, what the best way for him to apply himself is. End of the dialogue, Krishna is asking Arjuna, is all your ignorance dispelled? Anything more you need to know? The answer is yes, my ignorance is dispelled. And then Krishna says, so Arjuna is a warrior. There's an injustice there, and since he's a warrior, he, instead of him running away on the bodily conception of life, instead of him, you know, just letting them kill him on the bodily conception of life, he realizes that Krishna wants this me to fight to establish religious principles in the world. So, since I am a servant of Krishna, after receiving this dialogue with Krishna, I've realized, I understand that I am a servant of Krishna, and that my real happiness is in serving Krishna. So, considering all this, Arjuna picked up his weapons and slayed God knows how many people, bad guys. So that's my answer to your questions. Is that sufficient?
It would be abandoning his duty if he left that battlefield, in fact. And Krishna is saying, your duty, you have a right to do it, and you have to do it, and surrender to me while you're doing it. So this relates to the conversation or the discussion you have brought up in your talk about people going to school. And what about that? I have this intelligence. Mm-hmm. I've only gotten 4 B's in my life. And now everything else, I've gotten A's from high school into college, and I'm in my last year of college. Yeah. I obviously have a nature to succeed in some way, somehow or another, this ability to write and to read and to go into school. Now, why should I not fight there?
Why should I not fight with my words? You can fight going to school, but you got to know how to. There's nothing wrong with their degrees. So there's some gurus that encourages people to finish their PhDs. So I didn't mean it so much like that. School's bad, don't go to school. But I see a lot of devotees getting involved, kind of running away from book distribution. Away from book distribution, not run away from devotional service, and you apply that within the context of advancing Krishna consciousness, then that's perfectly fine. If that's what Guru is suggesting you to do, then wonderful. He can foresee things. That's all. There's no problem there. But getting a degree in itself, doing mental gymnastics, calculating numbers, whatever, on all this material platform, that in itself is not devotional service to Krishna. That's what it's meant for. Prabhupada calls the universities slaughterhouses. So better human, if we're intelligent, then we should, Prabhupada said the most intelligent people go out on Sankirtan. They have learned, they've studied these books and have learned the conclusion of all this is to serve God, and God wants them all back home. So to help them go out on Sankirtan, help them get back home, that's the most intelligent people. So that's the real application of intelligence. Not just mentally gymnastic stuff. Like my father, he has fun just calculating the numbers of pi. He goes, okay, I made it to the 15th digit in his head. You know, that's what he likes to do. That doesn't do. That's just a waste of time. So that's intelligence, but misapplication of intelligence. But, you know, Sankarshan Prabhu, Madhukari and I thought that this one person who's getting his PhD should go become a book distributor. And so we told him, like, why don't you contact a big guru? He contacted Sankarshan Prabhu because we weren't secure with our guidance. Smart of us. And the guru says, he should finish his degree. Be a great, do work out there as a PhD, this and that. With that prominent position, he could influence many people to take Krishna consciousness. So there's an application of using your degree to spread Krishna consciousness. So each guru has a different slant on it, maybe. Or maybe not. And so the main thing is just follow guru. You know, we don't know. I didn't mean it as an absolute rule book distribution. Why? And I know many people that have gotten their PhDs who distribute books on the weekend. I remember this. He has a preaching center now. His wife's now initiated. He got a Bhagavad Gita from me when he was getting his PhD. He took to it. Now he probably goes and distributes books also. You know, this is wonderful. So, but if we're not elevating people to knowledge, we're committing violence. Just getting a degree, calculating the 20th, using your intelligence to calculate. You know, this is like, I went to college for 7.5 years, a university, you know. It's, you know, it didn't do anything. Now, if I were to use my degree in engineering to help build the temple, the big temple over there in Mayapur or something, okay, it had some use. Or if I were to go work and make lots of money and give that money to Krishna, then it's got some use. And then there's also the aspect of having a prominent position in society and being a nice example, and people will go, what's your secret? Oh, chant Hare Krishna. Then it has some use. But outside of that, for the most part, it's all karma. It's ugra karma. It's horrible works meant to destroy the world. So I hope that's okay. Is that all right? A balance, more balance. I appreciate you bringing that up to balance the class out with that subject. Any other comments or questions? Yes.
Of course, there's so many devotees, but he says Dhruva achieved the highest position. Everyone's revolving around Dhruva Maharaj. So you see, he was like a Kshatriya. You know, his initial motivations weren't for pure devotion, pure bhakti, but somehow he achieved such an amazing favor.
Yeah. Well, that's really, that stunned me a little bit, how it says here, he loves devotee Dhruva Maharaj Dhruva so much that he has placed all the luminaries under the control of Dhruva Maharaj's planet and has arranged for the time factor to work under him or with his cooperation. Is actually done according to the will and direction of the Supreme Personality Godhead. But over the most important individual within the universe, the Lord has placed the activities of the time factor under his control. All I can think is you know, you know, Prabhupada said the greatest devotee is Narada Muni, and he also says Shiva. So, but he has placed Dhruva Maharaj, his devotee, the most important individual within the universe, to make his devotee within the universe. quite a statement. A couple of things come to my mind is if you got some shots of your spirit, you want to be in control. Especially if you're qualified kshatriya, you don't want, you like that position of power. And so, whether even in a pure way, Dhruva has that sense about him, certainly gave him the Dhruva Loka to rule, I mean, yeah, the planet to rule for a long time. So he's fulfilling that propensity, desire, and maybe this is a part of that, but I'm not sure. And at the same time, Vodhi, it's stated that every devotee is thinking Krishna is just giving him everything. Like individual pure devotee is thinking that Krishna's done everything for me. I've got the best position. Like I remember Sankarshan Prabhu going, you know, in the spiritual world, let's say you're a bug, you're a bumblebee, and you're chanting Hare Krishna mantra around Krishna, and you're thinking, I've got the best position, you know. And then the flute's going, no, I got the best position. Krishna kisses me all day. Or whatever it might be. All these spirit souls are thinking they've got the best position. So that might be part of it also. That he, it says that he is so kind, but to make his devotee, Dhruva, the most important individual within the universe. But, you know, those are two little slants I'm throwing out there, and that's about all I could probably say on the matter. Anybody have any? Yeah. Go ahead.
Because that was his original desire. He wanted that kingdom.
Yeah.
And then he did get purified, but I've heard Krishna's so kind that he fulfills even all your material desires. Like, that was his desire before, so he got purified. And also, I think Krishna wanted him to give him some service in the material world to take control of that planet. But his determination seems to be the most, one of the biggest things we'd learn from that pastime.
Nice.
His dedication. So how can we kind of develop, he was doing such severe austerities that, you know, the whole universe was shaking or something. So then we also need to develop, to overcome this material energy, how can we follow in his footsteps?
Well, the best thing I could say is what Dhanavar Maharaj said in his brain gain talk in Mayapur. He said Gandhi, when he realized he wanted to kick the British out in a non-violent way, serious task, he decided to become brahmachari. Not necessarily you have to be brahmachari and grihastha life. You can't be grihastha. I don't mean like that. But what I'm meaning is controlling the sex desire. And Prabhupada says many times that that's how you become determined. Now, if you're celibate and you do it grihastha just right and you even make kids, that's also like celibacy. But you only do that purpose and within the regulations, rules and regulations. So that's also like celibacy. Trivikrama Maharaj, I don't know if you've ever been to one of his kirtans. We were just in Orlando. It was ecstatic. And man, if somebody wasn't chanting so much, so intensely, he'd just be like a lion. You had to get it up to that gear, you know? And wow. And he says, yes, we don't get a taste. Sex desire. You know? So, he's mad. He's a madman. In a good way, to be. We gotta be madmen for Krishna. We have to get a taste. We have to get into this big time. You follow these regs, you get a lot of energy. Soul's amazing. It's great. And so that gets manifested as we follow these regulative principles and engage in sadhana bhakti. And don't cheat yourself. Go for it. Don't be drinking water on a fast day underneath the water, you know, like that. And you'll experience this, not saying you probably already are following, but That's the best way to become determined. You were going to say something? Yeah.
Because his life has been spent, you know, his life fluid.
Yeah.
And also, I want to say that in the Nectar of Devotion, it says to confirming what you said. It says I'm pretty sure it says that to control the senses forms determination. So that's the process of cultivating determination is controlling of the senses. So. You can see.
I think this all happens, personally, my experience is this all happens naturally as we just apply the program as it's prescribed. Automatically things happen. Potency just gets more and more and more. That's my personal experience. Any other comments or questions? Probably all want to honor Prashadam. I'm sure there's a better answer for that. Does anybody share the answer for Bruce's question?
Just now that you mentioned it, I remember one thing. Prabhupada says by tapasya, one becomes powerful by the grace of the Lord, by this voluntary sense gratification deprivation, really. By the willing restraint of the senses, one gets power. So I guess that's kind of like determination. So just how to do that through the sadhana process, I guess.
Yeah, just keep it within the guidance of under authorities. Like even one devotee in Vrindavan, somebody came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, this devotee's chanting 64 rounds and this and that. And Prabhupada just said, that rascal. People are like, what? He says, yeah, he should be helping out, help build this temple, you know. What's he doing there chanting extra rounds, you know? So Prabhupada's upset. That you can do that kind of tapasya, stand on one head and one leg for a long time instead of morning program hearted. But you just being as best as you can at every moment, being a servant of your authority, just like anything, automatically, just the right amount of tired. Just do it. Just yes, master. Yes, master. If you have to walk around with a limp like Igor did to remind yourself that you're a servant, you know, a hunchback. Limp. You ever seen that movie, Igor? He kind of drags his left leg. Yes, master. If you have to do it like that, great. You know, whatever it takes. Go back home to Godhead this way. Just be a servant of an authorized servant. And everything's there. Everything. Everything's within that framework. Srimad Bhagavatam ki Shri Papa ki jai. Go Premanandi Hodi.